kids. The rest of us will be in Luke chapter 8. So if you would, find your place there. Luke chapter number 8. And whenever you find your place, we'll stand and read the scripture this morning. Luke chapter number 8. The New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Primarily, what we do here at Valley Avenue Baptist Church is called expository preaching. We just preach through books of the Bible. And on Sunday mornings, we are in Luke, unless God leads different, as we're doing our theme for the year, and God led that way, or for Christmas and New Year's. So it's been a little while since we've been here in our series. I'm excited to get back into it. So on Sunday mornings, we're going through Luke. On Sunday nights, through Joshua. And Wednesday nights, we're going through the book of Revelation. And so the reason we do that is because I don't want to tell you what I think and come up with something to say every week. I just go to God, and we just see what God says. And as we go verse by verse, sometimes we cover verses that are a little bit uncomfortable, but that doesn't mean we don't do it, right? We got to give the whole counsel of God. And so expository preaching, I love it. I'm thankful for it. And so we are here in Luke chapter 8. We just finished the parable of the soils. Do you remember the four different kinds of soils that the gospel hits, and talking about the heart and the way we receive the gospel? And now Jesus still talking here, same conversation, building off of that parable. He comes to verse 16 and he gives this analogy about a candle. So verse 16 says this: "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have." We're going to pray and get into our message entitled, "Come to the Light Before Everything Comes to Light." That day is coming, and let's get ready for it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for letting us again just be here this morning and gather together. Thank you, Lord, for those who are watching online. Thank you for this ability to be able to still have that level of connection. And God, I just pray that you bless. I know that you've given this message this morning, and so I trust that you're going to use it in the hearts of your people and in the hearts of the lost. Lord, help us, God, to be ready for that day. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much for standing. So to quote again, the great and famous theologian, Brother Tim Campbell. He said this: "Light is electromagnetic radiation that enables vision. Light makes things visible." And if you were here for our Christmas Eve candlelight service, you're probably like, "Oh, here we go again, the same sermon." No, it's not. But we did talk about that on our candlelight service. We talked about on that day how that we live in a world full of darkness, don't we? We live in a dark world. Well, why is that? Well, sin entered the world. Way back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and since then, mankind has been born into spiritual darkness. And before we're saved, that's where we all are. Before we come to the light, as we're going to talk about this morning, before that, we are in darkness. Colossians 1:13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Really, the kingdom of light, it's called other places in Scripture. So when we got saved, when we came to the light, Jesus took us from the domain, the kingdom of the power of darkness, and he transferred us into the kingdom, the realm of light. And I'm thankful that the light came to shine in the darkness, aren't you? In this dark world full of sin and wickedness, Jesus himself said in John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light." of the world. He that followeth me should not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so Jesus is the light of the world. When he came there in John 1, we read about, for in the beginning was God, and I think I have it here, I don't have it here, but anyway, John 1:1, talking about how that the light came into this dark world, and the darkness comprehended it not. We live in a dark world full of sin and wickedness and corruption, and God came and shed his light on this world. And those who receive him, those who Jesus says follow with him, believe in him, they receive that light, don't we? And when you get saved, Jesus comes to live in your heart, and he gives you the light of life, literally eternal life, right? He gives you life eternal, but he also gives you abundant life on this earth, right? And we receive what we've been looking for. We all know, if we're honest, that we're in darkness. We all understand before we're saved, there's something missing. Something's not here. And no matter how hard we try, no matter how diligent we are, no matter how disciplined we are, we know that there's something missing. And what's missing is the light of God. And the only way to be fulfilled truly is to receive the light, to come to the light, to receive Christ, to have your sins forgiven. See, the darkness comes because of sin. And the Bible says we've all sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. Every one of us. And our world tries to say, you know, there's good people and there's bad people. And if you compare among each other, then that's probably true. But there really is none good, the Bible says. No, not even one. Not even one is good. And it's helpful to understand that, because if we're honest with ourselves, truly honest, we know we're not good. We know we have faults and failures. And we hear the world that says, you know, we should be good, but I'm not. And then we understand that we can never reach that level. And we try and we try and we try, and we hope that when we die that we'll be able to go to heaven because we'll be good enough. Listen, friend, you will not be good enough. You can't be good enough. You're not good enough. You need Christ. That's why he came. That's why Jesus died. If we could earn heaven, then why would Jesus come and die at all? He came to die for your sin, to save you from the darkness and translate you into the kingdom of light. And so when the Word was made flesh, when Jesus Christ became a man, light entered this dark world. Here's what God did. We can say it this way. He lit a candle in the world, didn't he? He lit a candle. And God did not light a candle so that he can hide it. That's what Jesus is saying here in our passage. Look at verse 16. He says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light. Jesus said this oftentimes. We, on that candlelight service, we read it where he said it in Matthew 5:15, and then he said it again in Luke 11:33, almost verbatim, this same verse. And why does he use that? Well, because it's self-evident truth. It's what we call an axiom. That means it's self-evident. That means it's obvious. You can't deny it. Listen, here's the truth that Jesus is saying. Nobody lights a candle so that they can put it out. That's not why we light a candle. You light a lamp, you light a candle, why? To give light. That's why you do it. Especially in that day. In that day, a candle was really the main way most people got light. Right? There was no electricity, there were no light bulbs. And so they would have a candle almost everywhere they went. After the sun went down, or when you went into a building where there wasn't a lot of sunlight, you would light a candle. And they were like a little flat saucer or a little pitcher with oil or something in it, and a wick was in there. And you would light the wick, and you would have light, and there would be a little handle so you can carry it around. And then, when you got to a room and you were going to stay there a while, you would put it up high on a candlestick, right? So that it would light the entire room. That's what we do today. When you get a lamp, you don't leave it on the floor next to the couch. What do? You put it up on something, on a lamp stand, right? Or a table or something. You lift it up. Why? Because the point of the in our vernacular, we could say it like this. The point of a lamp is to light the room. We don't light a lamp so that we can cover it with something. No. We light it so that people can come in and see. They can see. Okay. We raise it up to give it more light. We do what we can to allow the light to shine brighter in the room. And so Jesus says nobody would light a candle and cover it with a vessel. What's that? Like a container or a bowl or a basket. You don't light a candle so that you can hide the light. You don't light a candle so that you can put it out. You light a candle to give light. Nobody puts a candle under a bed, Jesus says. Cover it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed. And you say, well, yeah, if you do that, you'll catch the house on fire. But that's not, they didn't have bed frames and mattresses back then, right? You couldn't really slide it under a bed. Their beds were like a rolled up mat, right? Or like a thick blanket. That was their bed. And so a blanket, we all know this, will put out a fire, won't it? If something catches on fire, you got a blanket, you throw it on there, and what it'll do? Well, you throw the blanket on there, it takes away all the oxygen, the light goes out. And so nobody, Jesus says, nobody lights a candle so that they can hide it with a bowl or a container. Nobody lights a candle so that they can put it out. No. Well, why do they do it? So that, he says, but setteth it on a candlestick. Why? So that it can shed more light. Why is Jesus saying all this? Here's why. God sent the light to this world, and he did it so that all can see. He's not hiding it. He didn't send Jesus here and then put a container over him and hide the gospel from people. No. Jesus wants that for the gospel to be shed to all men. He wants the light of the gospel to be shed to all men. He wants everyone everywhere to know that they are lost without him, that without God we're in sin. Without God we deserve eternal darkness. And he wants us to tell people the light has come and shine that light. We're not called to hide it, are we? We're called to give it, which is why Jesus said in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, ye are the light of the world. And Jesus said he was the light of the world, but he said those who receive him receive the light. And so now we who are saved are the light of the world. And Jesus didn't give you the light so that you can hide it, so that you can pretend you're not a Christian at work, so they don't get made fun of, so that you will never tell your family because Jesus annoys them. No, it doesn't really matter. They need to hear the light. They need to see the light, don't they? He gave it to us so that we can tell others. A city, Jesus says, is set on a hill, cannot be hid. Neither, here he says again, do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So he says this in verse 16, let your light so shine before men. How do you do that? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here's how you can be a witness. Just be a Christian in front of your friends and family, in front of your coworkers. Make sure they know you're a Christian. Make sure they know that you know Christ. But you don't necessarily have to keep bombarding them. Like we talked about, remember, as we worked the field, there was the plowing of the ground, and there's the planting of the seed, and there's weeding and water the seed, and then there's harvesting the fruit. There's a lot of people who are not really ready for a sit-down conversation about the gospel. So what do? We live the gospel. Our testimony matters. Jesus says that they can behold your good works, and they'll see somebody who is not living in darkness. They'll see somebody who is truly joyful, who is truly at peace. And you know, we can put on a show. We're going to talk about that here in a moment, that humans are really good about pretending like they're fulfilled and joyful. Humans are very good at pretending like they have it all figured out, but in their heart they know they're not fulfilled. And whenever we get to know each other, we eventually, you know, lost people especially start to talk about how, yeah, really, I got nothing. I'm unfulfilled. But whenever a Christian is in their life and you get among the lost and you start getting to know the lost and they understand that you know you truly are joyful. You're not just pretending like you're happy all the time. You truly have joy no matter how life is. Because why? Because you're fulfilled. Truly, you're not pretending like you're fulfilled, but really you're empty on the inside. No, you are truly fulfilled. You have something they don't have, which is the light. And they can see that. And eventually it'll lead them to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so he brought the light into the world and gave his light to those who received it. And listen, he has called us. He has called us to take the light that God has given to us and allow it to shine before all men. All men. Jesus brought the light into this world, and he gave it to us, and he called us to work the field. He called us to send the light, the blessed gospel light. That's his plan. He went back to heaven, right? He went back to the Father, but that doesn't mean the light left. He gave us the light, and he intends for us to bring it to this dark world. And then in verse 17, it almost is like he changes subjects. It's almost like Jesus says, well, I'm talking about light, verse 17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. You know, light exposes darkness, and it makes things hidden come to light. And it's, but you know, Jesus, he's not random and sporadic. Here's what Jesus is saying. We live in a dark world, and it needs the light. Why? Why is it so important that we tell people the gospel? Why is it so important that we tell them that Jesus has come and that he can forgive you of your sin and you can have your sins forgiven and be in heaven forever? Why? Because there is coming a day when everything is going to be revealed. You might love darkness rather than light because there are things about you that you're hiding. Remember the Bible says that the light came into the world, but the world sometimes doesn't receive the light. Why? Because they love darkness rather than light. And you say, why? Why would somebody love darkness rather than light? It's because all of us have parts of us that we're hiding, that we're pretending aren't there. And we tell people we're good because they've only seen that part that we've allowed them to, but there's a part of all of us that we know is dark and dark, really dark. And we're hiding it. And Jesus says, there's coming a day where nothing is secret. Yeah. There are things about you that you don't want to admit to anybody else, and oftentimes even to yourself. Because you know who you are. You know who you are. And it's not the Instagram profile that you put out there. You know who you really are. Hey, you know what you've done. Maybe no one else does. Somebody does. You know what you deserve, if you're honest. You know you do. And you think you can hide all of that away and pretend like it didn't happen. And you might be able to do that with people, but there is coming a day when you stand before God and he will make manifest every secret you have. Nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. And he's not talking about this world right here, because he can't be, because there are people who take secrets to the grave, aren't there? That is possible. But you can't take it past the grave. And the Hebrew says that there's appointed to every man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And the judgment seat of Christ, at that day, you will not be able to hide anything. Everything will be made known. Neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. And he will make known everything you're hiding. And you will be judged according to your works. Revelation 20 says that. According to your works. Everything you've done, you'll be judged. And nothing will be hidden from God. And it'll be obvious that day that you truly deserve hell forever. We all do. And sometimes we pretend like we don't, and sometimes we tell people that we don't, and sometimes we even convince ourselves that we don't. But on that day, when everything comes to light, it'll be obvious what you deserve. It's obvious what I deserve. By the way, it's healthy for you to figure that out now and not wait till that day. We all deserve the wrath of God. We all fall short of the glory of God. There is none good. No! Not one. And on that day, it's going to be obvious. Everything will come to light. Everything you've said, everything you've thought, everything you've done, come to light. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't think there's going to be a projector out there, you know, and like a documentary. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he will bring it all to light. And we will answer for every thought, word, and deed. And if you're saved, he wants us to send the light now. And if you're not saved, he desperately wants you to receive the light, who is Christ. Because there's coming a day when everything will be made known and judged. And you will fail that judgment. You will. But I'm thankful it doesn't end there. Because then he says this in verse 18. Take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken everything. Him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. And that's another thing that Jesus says over and over. Luke 19:26, Matthew 25:29. Everyone who hath shall be given. Everyone who hath not shall be taken. And all three times, Jesus is talking about that day of judgment. And on that day, everything will come to light for all of us. We will answer for everything we've done and thought and said. But then it's not over. Jesus will convince you, you'll know, I deserve hell forever. But then after that, the good part for those who are saved is this. But I died for that. You see? And whosoever hath the light will receive more. What's that? Eternal life. You see? And so when you get to that day, it doesn't matter how much good you've done. You're not going to do enough good to hide all of the things that the light's going to expose. All that's going to matter on that day is, do you have the light? But if you do, you'll receive more. But if you don't, it'll be everything will be taken from you, even that which you think you have. What does that mean? There are people who think that when they stand before God, they've done enough good. Jesus will say, no, you haven't. I'm going to take away, you're not getting rewards for that. You thought you were, but you're not. You're going to have nothing. You'll be cast into outer darkness and into the judgment of God. Because we're not impressing God with our works. All that will matter, when everything comes to light, all that will matter is if you have the light or if you don't have the light. Are you following that? Do you have the light? Do you not have the light? We'll stand before him and answer for our life. And we'll know what we deserve. And at that point, all that will matter is if you're saved or if you're not saved. That's it. All that matters, here's how Jesus puts it. On that day, on the judgment day, it won't matter how many good things you've done. Doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized. Doesn't matter how many times you've gone to church. It won't matter how much times you gave tithes and offerings. All that will matter is this. Here's what Jesus says in verse 18 in the beginning. Take heed therefore how ye hear. All that will matter is how you heard. Heard what? The gospel. Isn't that what Jesus has been talking about this whole time with the parable of the sowers? Look at verse 12. Those by the wayside, are they that what? Hear. And cometh the devil. So the hard heart. A hard heart is one who hears the gospel, but then ignores it. Verse 13, on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word, but have no roots, and lose it. Verse 14, and they which fell among the thorns are they when they have heard. Verse 15, but they that are on good ground are they which with an honest and good heart, having heard. And so what matters is this, all that will matter to you at that day is how you heard the gospel. When someone gave you the gospel, how did you receive it? Did you ignore it? Did you put it off and say, I'll take care of that later. Yeah, I get it. I'm lost. I get it. I deserve hell. I do. I understand. But I'll do that later. Or you're going to say, oh, you know what? I'm good. I'm good enough. When I get there, I know God will accept me into heaven. How did you hear? Because the light has been shed, right? He calls us to shed the light. And our job is to do that, is to send the light and shed the light and make sure everyone has heard the gospel. But just because you've heard the gospel doesn't mean you have heard it in the way that you need to. It's not just that you hear the gospel, it's how you hear the gospel. That's what Jesus said. Be careful how you hear. Don't let this bounce off your heart and ignore it. Don't put it off. We need to make sure we hear well. You know it. You know what it is to hear something but not really hear something. Anyone who's married knows how that goes. And we're talking, and you're having a conversation with your wife, and she asks you to do something. You say, yes, yeah, sure, honey, no problem. Or when you're at school and you hear your teacher saying words, but you don't really hear your teacher. You know what I'm saying? Listen, we can't do that with God. When do you, okay, if you do that with your wife or husband, or you do that with your school teacher, when do you find out if you really heard your wife take out the trash before you leave? Which, my wife's back home and I was supposed to take out the trash this morning. How funny. Sorry. I did hear you, but maybe not the way I should have heard you. Or when do you, here's how you know. When you get home and the trash is still there. Judgment may come, but if you heard right, the trash will be gone and it's a blessing. See? So it doesn't just matter that you heard. It matters how you hear. When do you find out if you are actually listening to your teacher? Test day. And if you listened, well, the test day is a great day. You feel accomplished. But if you were listening but not really, you know, then it's a terrible day. Judgment day. Right, Brother Tim? Okay, well then, here's the question. When are you going to know if you really heard the gospel right or not? There is coming a judgment day. There is coming a judgment day. And you don't need to wait until judgment day for you to know. You know. I know right now that I should have taken the trash out. But judgment day is coming. My wife is so sweet, though. She'd be like, oh, it's okay. Anyway. We know before we get there. High schoolers, you know whether you're listening. You know when test day comes, you're in trouble. But for whatever reason, until test day, we just blow it off and goof off. Then test day comes, you have an F, and you're upset about it. You were listening! The teacher gave you plenty of opportunity. They did teach. They did give you work, you know, to work on. They did give you a textbook, hopefully. I don't know how that works today. I'm sure if you went to your teacher and said, hey, teacher, you know, I really wasn't listening that first week. Can you help me to understand? I think the teacher would probably help you, don't you think? But we put it off, and we put it off, and we put it off, and we put it off. And one day, test day. Ugh. Don't do that with God. Judgment day is coming. And it's not a matter if you've done good enough or if you've done enough things for God. There's only one question on judgment day that matters for you. The question is this: what did you do with my son? That's what God will ask. What did you do with the knowledge of the gospel? How did you respond? How did you hear the gospel? Did you blow it off? Or did you do something about it? There's only two responses. It's like a multiple, at Bible college we call them multiple guess. But multiple choice, right? You know what those are. Question A or B. There's only two options. Did you receive the light or did you reject the light? Now, rejecting the light goes in different, there's different ways to reject the light. You can go off and live your life and say, I don't care, and verbally say things like, I don't care about God, I don't care what he says, whatever, I'm going to do whatever I want. There are people who live that way. There are other people who say, yeah, I care about God. I mean, yeah, I believe in him, but I haven't actually asked him to forgive me. There are some who are confused and think they've received the light because someone told them baptism gives you the light. Or someone told them if you go to church and you just do what we say, you'll be saved. And they're confused, but still it's letter B. They have not received the light. There's only one way to receive the light. And it's to ask because of what Jesus has done. Romans, go to Romans, we'll be done there. Romans 10. Now in these verses, we're going to see the word saved quite a bit. Before we read them, I want to explain to you what that means. Saved means you were spared from danger, right? Isn't that what saved means? Like, forget about, you know, for now, the gospel and the Bible for now. The word saved means something bad was going to happen, and now it's not going to happen. That's saved. You were about to run into the street, but someone held you back or called your name. And what did they do? They saved you from danger, getting hit by a car. Okay. Saved in the Bible means this. We are all headed for danger, aren't we? We all of us, every one of us, deserve the wrath of God. What's the wrath of God? It's hell forever. It's a real place. It's not fun to talk about, but we have to talk about it. Hell is real. It's eternity away from God. Jesus said it like this. There's that where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. There's torment for eternity. Physical torment and inward torment. God's judgment forever. We all deserve that. If you go to Luke 16 on your own time, you'll read about a story about two men. One who received the light, he died, and then he was carried to Abraham's bosom. He was carried to paradise, and today that'd be heaven. There's another man who did not receive the light, and he had a good life on earth. He was rich. He had fun here on earth, but he died, and the Bible says in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He opened his eyes. He closed his eyes in death, immediately opened his eyes in hell, in torment. It's a real place. God doesn't want that for you. You deserve it. No, he could just leave you alone, and that's what you would deserve, but God loves you so much. So much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, whosoever receives the light, should not perish, should not be in eternal darkness, should not face eternal torment, but instead have everlasting life. He wants to save you from that torment. You see? That's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save the lost. God loves you so much, and he wants to spare you from that. And it's very, very important. There's no more important thing in the world you can consider than this right here. So how is that? How does this happen? What is Jesus' way? He's the one who came. He's God. He's the one who decides. He's the one that will stand before on Judgment Day. He's the one that will go through our life. He's the one that's going to say we are forgiven or not. What does he say? What does the Bible say? Here's how the Bible says. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I don't see baptism in there. I don't see good works in there. I don't see you're better than other people in there. I only see this. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now believeth what? Believe anything? No. You can believe all kinds of weird things. He's been spending 9 chapters giving you the gospel. Romans is all about it. Believing in your heart this, that you're a sinner who deserves hell forever. You deserve it. And you believe that Jesus came and died for you. God became a man and took the punishment you deserve on the cross. He paid your penalty. He's your propitiation. He's your replacement. He's your substitute. He paid your penalty. You believe that with all your heart. And the point of this is, it's not for somebody else. This is between you and God, right? We don't do this because somebody said, hey, you really need to get saved, and we do it for them. That's why as saved people, we're not called to pressure anybody, right? We're just called to plow the ground, plant the seed, weed and water, but we do not force people into this. That's between them and God. It's between you and God. Do you believe this with all your heart? Do you truly believe you're a sinner? Do you truly believe you deserve hell forever? Do you truly believe that Jesus died for you? That's good. And that's the first step. It's not the only step. I think there are people out there who believe, but they've never done the second step. There's all kinds of Christianity, quote-unquote, out there that say, just believe, as long as you believe in Jesus. Well, that's not the only thing. There's another thing. Hey, we got to be picky here. We're talking about eternity, right? This is pretty important. What's the next thing? Well, with the heart, man believeth in righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Salvation comes when you believe it with all your heart, and then you confess. What does that mean? That means that there has to be a time in your life that you came before God and confessed to Him and said, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell forever. God, I know that you came and became a man and died for me. And then here's what we do. We call out on Christ. Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we say, I believe you've done all of this. And based upon what you did on the cross, not based on anything I've done, but based upon what you've done on the cross, I got nothing to offer you, God. You know who I am. You know I'm nothing but filthy rags. You know I've got nothing to offer you. But because of what Jesus did, God, I ask that you forgive me. Saved. That moment, saved. If you're here this morning and you've done that, you know what I'm talking about. That moment, you received the light. That moment, your sins, past, present, and future, forever, forgiven. You don't have to answer for your sin again. There will never be a time where you answer for your sin. No, God will bring it up, but then He'll say, my Son took care of that. And judgment day for you is a blessing. Because you'll receive reward. You'll have it. You'll have the light. And He'll give you more eternal life with Him. And that day will be like test day if you studied well. You're prepared for that day. But if you haven't done that, if you cannot, listen, I'm just going to be crystal clear this morning. If you cannot remember a time where you prayed to God, no, you don't have to know the day, you don't even have to know how old you were necessarily, but there's a moment. You're not going to forget this moment, I don't think. It's pretty much the biggest moment of your whole life. If you're married, do you forget the day you got married? I don't think so. Probably not. If you do, then you need to have marriage counseling. I can help you with that. But anyways, this is the most important day of your life, where your sins were forgiven. Not only that, but the light entered your soul, your dark soul that's been dark and unfulfilled and purposeless. God came to live and make abode in your life. God lives in you. That's a big day. If you do not remember the time where you called out on Christ, you prayed to Him and say, God, please forgive me because of what Jesus did, then the Bible says you are not saved. Well, look at verse 13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The implication being, whosoever hath not called out on the name of the Lord, then would not be saved. And Jesus said in Matthew that there are many in that day. On that day, that judgment day, go ahead and we have, I'm doing so good this morning. Let's go to Matthew 7. We'll be done. Matthew 7. I'm doing good time-wise, okay? I'm not like, okay, you know what I mean. Matthew 7. Verse 21. Jesus says this. Jesus, the words of Christ himself, you know, the one who came to save us from our sin, made it very clear for us. He said this, "Not everyone," Matthew 7:21, "not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Jesus says, just because you say you believe in me doesn't mean you'll enter heaven. You're going to have to do what I told you to do, which is this. Believe with all your heart and confess with your mouth. It's not enough that you believe. Oh, I believe. Lord, Lord means you really mean it. Lord, when you put in the Greek, if you put the name twice, it's called a double vocative. That means you really mean it. Right? Like, Lord, Lord, you're my Lord. And probably at some point in your life have done this in a CCM service. Lord, Lord, God, Jesus is my God. But if you have never, that's not enough to be saved. Salvation comes when you've obeyed what he said to do, which is to believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, again, with all the emotion and passion you can muster, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Jesus, I've done a lot of things for you. That's not the question. The question is not how many things you've done. The question is this. Have you received the light? Did you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth? That's the only question there is on that day. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are a lot of people who are going to be confused on that day, thinking they're safe because somebody told them that they've done enough good things or that they believed and so it's okay. It's not okay. Very clear from the Word of God. You have to confess with your mouth and believe in thy heart. Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Yeah. We got to be picky about this, don't we?
Yeah.
We got to be crystal clear about this. And so how about you? Have you ever done that before? Have you ever called out on Christ? Have you ever received the light? Have you ever admitted your sin before Him? Are you ready for that day? Are you prepared for that test? If so, here's what we do. We send the light. If that's happened for you, you've received the light. Now it's time to take that and to shed it. Because there's so many people living in darkness. There's so many people confused about this. We need to go out there and explain to them, no, it doesn't matter if you were baptized as a baby.
Right.
That's not anywhere in Romans 10.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you've been going to church since before you were born.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're better than that person who's in prison.
Right.
Or even better than somebody else who's also good, but you're better than them. That's not it. All that matters is this. Have you received the light? Do you believe? Have you confessed? If so, you're saved and you have the light. If you have not done that, you need to receive the light. Come to the light before everything comes to light. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for loving us the way you do. Lord, we're so unworthy. Lord, we stand here again humbly, admitting to you that we have nothing to offer you. God, we don't have goodness on our own. We admit, even as your word says, that even our best righteousness is filthy rags in your sight. Lord, we deserve hell forever. We do. But God, I'm thankful that you love us anyways. And while we were yet sinners, you died for us and offered us the gift of salvation. And Lord, I pray that you would work in the hearts of the people that have, in the sound of this message, Lord, those in this room, those who are listening online, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would take this truth from your word and apply it to their heart. And Lord, those who need to be saved, those who have never called out on the name of the Lord, Lord, that you would help them see their need of salvation. Lord, us that are saved, that us that have received the light, help us to recognize. You didn't give us that light so we can hide it. You didn't give us that light so we can put it out, but so that we could shine before men. Help us to work the field. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So I'll stand together. Brother Tim is going to play a song of invitation. If God's working your heart, now is the time to come. The invitation's open for you. If you've never been saved this morning, you've never called out, if you can't remember that time in your life, I would sure love to talk to you about that. You can come down now and we can talk about it. We can get it settled right now. You can come and talk to me after church and we can sit down and talk about it. But we need to talk about it. It's the most important message that you'll hear. The message of the gospel. Us that have received the light, we need to shed it. We need to share it. We need to share it.